Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 through 15. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken unto him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy word. Now, this chapter, it brings us outside the Garden of Eden. Now we find that Adam and Eve, who have now been put out of the garden because of sin, they have their first children. And so we find that two boys were born, Cain and Abel. So here in this chapter we have the first children born, were two sons. And of course it's an interesting chapter because also in the chapter we have the first murder that was committed way back there in Genesis chapter 4. Man, there's been many murders committed from then, but here we have the first two children born and the first murder committed. I want to look at Cain and Abel tonight, and I want to see what comparisons and contrasts we can see from them. And eventually we'll come and see how we can see Calvary in this story. And so I want to talk to you tonight about these two boys, these two brothers, and we want to see what comparisons and contrasts we can make. And the first thing I want to say about them is this, that they were both sinners before God. Cain and Abel were children of fallen parents. They were born outside Eden. It was in the Garden of Eden that the fall took place. You remember that Eve took of the fruit and gave to her husband, and Adam took and did eat thereof, and through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. And each one of us tonight were affected by that sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered into the bloodstream, and we're all born in Adam. And that's why you can write across as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These brothers were born with a sinful nature. By nature, the children of wrath. Both sinners before God, both perishing, both heading for destruction. And this is something we all have in common this evening, that we're all children of fallen parents. My, we trace it away back to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and sin entered into the bloodstream and was passed down from generation to generation. So that's the first thing, they were both sinners before God. Second thing I want you to see about them is this, they were both sons in the same family. Now that may seem an elementary point, but it's a very important one. You see, before God banished our parents from the Garden of Eden, he revealed unto them the way of salvation. And you might say to me tonight, how did he do that? Well, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 21, it says this, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Where did they get the coats of skin from? They got the coats of skin from animals that had to be slain, their blood had to be shed, and so God clothed them with these coats of skin. And this is a wonderful truth. You know, we see four things in these coats of skin. Now, they speak to us about the righteousness of a holy God. Before a man or woman can approach a holy God, his sins has to be covered. We cannot enter into God's presence without our sins being dealt with. And God provided a covering so that they could come to him. We see here in these coats of skin not only the righteousness of a holy God, but we see here the reasoning of fallen man. Before man could approach God, their sins had to be covered. Adam and Eve, they made themselves coats of skin. They made themselves coats of fig leaves. They tried to cover their own nakedness. They tried to make a covering for themselves. And that's what many people do today. They try to make a covering for themselves. But their covering was not acceptable. God provided the covering for them. My dear friends, we see here the reasoning of fallen man. Man reasons in his own heart, and he knows that he's sinned, and he knows he has to approach a holy God, and he goes about trying to make a covering or a coat that will make him acceptable, and that's only the reasoning of a human heart. We see in these coats of skin not only the righteousness of a holy God and the reasoning of fallen man, but we see the requirements of God. The covering that God gave to Adam and Eve was obtained through a sacrifice. God required a sacrifice for sin. And that sacrifice had to be a blood sacrifice. That's the requirement. And we see fourthly in these coats of skin the revelation of the way of salvation. God was revealing that the only way that men and women could be reconciled to God or could approach God was through the shedding of blood. And there you have the gospel away back in Genesis chapter 4. Being sons in the same family means this, that both these boys were taught the way of salvation. It's beyond doubt that they both knew the truth. I can imagine Adam gathering them round his knee and teaching them about how they can approach God and how they need to approach God, how that a sacrifice must die, how that its blood has to be shed. And we read, of course, over in Hebrews that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he became righteous. And so they had heard the word of God. They had been taught the truth of God. And having been taught the truth of God, my, they knew the way of salvation from their parents. We see they're both sinners before God, and they're both sons in the same family. And being sons in the same family, they would have been both taught the same truth. They're both sincere in coming to God. We see here in verse 2, their occupations. It says Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a husbandman or a farmer. And we find that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. He brought of the substance of what the ground had produced. He brought to God what he had obtained through his own labors and the works of his own hands. It says, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. You see, Abel brought the firstling of his flock, which was probably a lamb. Both had a desire to come to God, but the thing is, they went about it in a different way. They were both sincere, but only Abel's offering was acceptable. It says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, unto his offering. They both were sincere, which tells us this, that you can be sincere, but that you can be sincerely wrong. I don't know where I ever told the story before here about the two teams of boys who were playing rugby at the school, and they got into a ruck. And if you ladies don't know what a ruck is, well, in rugby, it's a whole lot of bodies on top of one another, all trying to get the ball. And the ball's at the bottom of them somewhere, and that's what they call a ruck. And out of the ruck, this little feeble guy appears, this little fella, and he has got the ball under his arm, and he just puts his head down, and he runs for the posts, he runs for the line. And when he gets up to it, he takes an enormous dive over the line and plants the ball down, thinking that he had scored a try. The only problem was that when he got out of the ruck, he didn't look to see what way he was going, and he was running the wrong way. And he touched down under his own posts. You see, he was sincere, wasn't he? He was as sincere as anybody else in that field, but he was going the wrong way. And you see, friend, you can be sincere tonight. You can be sincere in your prayers. You can be sincere in your living. You can be sincere as you sing the hymns. You can be sincere as you read the Bible. You can be sincere, but make sure you're not sincerely wrong. Because there's a whole lot of people tonight, and it's possible to be sincerely wrong. Yes, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus, I know there's a whole lot of folks would argue with me about that tonight, but the Bible says that there's only one way, and Jesus is the way. So we look at these two boys that were born, and they were both sinners before God, and they were both sons in the same family, and they were both sincere in coming to God. And then we see something else. They both offered sacrifices to God. Cain brought, it tells us, of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I'm sure that his was the very best of everything. I can imagine him picking out the best of the fruit that he had grown. And my, the beautiful aroma that would come from it. And I can imagine him coming and bringing this this offering to the Lord. And that offering, it represented the works of his own hands. It spoke of the sweat of his own brow. It spoke of his own efforts. It was all about him. Yes, his offering was not acceptable, it says. Bringing his offering, he turned his back on God's revealed will. Remember, he had been a wee lad with his brother when his father Adam had taught him about the way to God was through the sacrifice and through the shed blood of a sacrifice. And here's Cain, and he's coming in a completely different way. And my dear friends, he's bringing his offering and he's turning his back on the revealed will of God. And Cain, it speaks to us tonight of those folk who want to make their own way to heaven, of those people who want to make their own agenda. And they don't believe that only faith in Christ will save them. They want something more. And they bring their good works to God, and they bring their church going, and they bring their baptism. And I have sat in homes where people has told me all these things. Remember a man in Bellamina who was very ill, and I was asked to go to see him, and he said, you know, Pastor, I've been a good church attender all my life. He said, you know, I taught on the Sunday school. If I was able, I would be out. I'd give my money into the offering box every week. And he went on and on and on. And then when he stopped, I said to him, tell me this. Do you know anything about being born again? Do you know anything about trusting the Lord as your Savior? And there was silence. Dear friends, there's folks like Cain tonight, and they're bringing the fruit of their own hands. Cain's offering was not acceptable, and he was wroth. And the Lord spoke to Cain here in verse 6 and 7. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. God is saying, you know, if you bring the proper offering, it'll be accepted. But if not, then it'll not be accepted. And the reason it's not accepted is because sin lieth at the door. And sin is crouching down at the door like a wild beast that's ready to spring upon you. And that's exactly what happened, because sin came and destroyed Cain's life and damned his soul. He murdered his brother Abel. And if you reject God's way, sin will do the same to you as it did to Cain. It'll destroy your life, damn your soul. So we see Cain's offering. Now in verse 4, we have Abel's offering here. And it says here, and Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto his offering. He must have brought a lamb when he brought his offering. And you know, when he brought that lamb, Abel was confessing something. He was confessing that he was a fallen creature, that he was a guilty sinner, that he was away from God. He was confessing something. And when he brought that lamb, friends, he was convicted of something. He was convicted that he needed to get right with God. He was only worthy of death. And you know, when he brought that lamb, he was conscious of something. His only hope lay in a substitute taking his place and bearing penalty, which was his due, and that's why he brought a lamb. And when he brought that lamb, he was confident of something. He presented his offering by faith. He believed that God would accept the slain lamb, and that its precious blood would meet all God's requirement. And acting upon this, he believed, and God respected Abel and his offering. And Abel speaks to us as those who realize that they're lost, that they're undone, that they're sinners, that they're unacceptable as they are before God, and that their only hope lies in the atoning sacrifice of Calvary. Because Abel is a type of those who put their trust in the work of the Lamb of God for salvation, who are depending on a bleeding sacrifice being substitutionally offered for them. You see, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the slain lamb. The lamb that was slain, says Revelation, before the foundation of the world. That's what we read in Revelation 13. Remember, John the Baptist identified him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Peter talked about the Lamb. He says, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, might receive from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And this lamb that Abel brought is a picture of the Lamb of God that was slain on Calvary. Because bless God, there's a slain lamb tonight. Yes, that slain lamb, bless God, he was the lamb that was sent. My God sent his son. He was the submissive lamb who was willing to come and to go and to die in our stead. Man, that lamb was the spotless Lamb of God who without spot offered himself, his life, as an offering to God. And that spotless Lamb, my dear friends, he was the suffering Lamb. The suffering Lamb who was put to death, who died for our sins at Calvary. And on Calvary's cross, the Lamb suffered for my sins. He was the sacrificial Lamb. And remember that that slain lamb was the substitutionary lamb, because he was there for you and he was there for me. And he was dying for your sins and for my sins. And bless God, tonight he became the sufficient lamb, because he finished the work and God tore the veil of the temple in twain. And when Jesus cried, "It's finished," all heaven rejoiced. And bless God tonight for the slain lamb, for the sufficiency. And it's in that offering, and through that offering, when people come and exercise faith like Abel did, that they find salvation. Dear friends, what are people depending on tonight for eternity? Cain was depending on the works of his own hands. That's what he was depending on. He was depending on what he could do for God or give to God. Abel was depending on the blood of the Lamb. What are you depending on? Are you clinging on for grim death to your good works, to your church membership, to your confirmation confession, to your baptism? Or do you realize that there's nothing you have or nothing that you can do, and it's only what the Lamb of God did for you Calvary. That'll save you. Here's two boys, two young fellows, both born into the same family. And they're both sinners before God. And they're both sons in the same family. And they're both sincere in coming to God. And they both brought sacrifices to God. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and God rejected him. And Abel brought of the firstling of his flock, and God accepted it. And now we see them both separated in eternity. Because of their sacrifices they offered, they were separated in eternity. That's why. Not because of any other reason. Not because of the clothes they wore. Not because of how they did in life. The reason they were separated in eternity was what they were depending on. Abel was saved. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he became righteous. He was made righteous. We find down in this chapter in 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My, what a statement. What a statement. My punishment is greater that I can bear. Those trusting in the blood of the Lamb that was slain at Calvary will be in heaven. Those trusting in something else will be sentenced like Cain was to hell, to the lake of fire. And you know what their cry will be for all eternity? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Oh, dear friends, both these boys knew the way of salvation. They both knew that they needed to have their sins forgiven. They needed their sins dealt with. But only one came by God's way. They both knew the truth. They both knew God's way, but they only one came by God's way. My dear friends, tonight, are you trusting in the blood? Have you got a lamb tonight? The Lamb of Calvary. A substituting lamb who shed his blood for you and died for you. That's what will bring pardon for your sins and salvation for your soul. And through faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a picture of Calvary. Isaac Watts wrote that tremendous hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross in which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Oh, friends, that you would get a picture tonight and see a picture of the slain lamb that was slain in Calvary. And that you might see in that picture his great love for you and the passion of his soul to give his life that you might live. May you realize that that lamb is sufficient to meet your need. Not only for time, but for eternity, that he's sufficient to deal with your sins and give you security in eternity. John the Baptist cried, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him by faith. Embrace him by faith tonight. May you do that. May you be like Abel, but not like Cain. May you experience God's pardon and trust God you'll not experience God's wrath. May God bless his word to our hearts. Bless his word and magnify his son.